Hi, my name is Jared. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a doctor. And I won't be giving you the news. I'm just a Christian who, like many, lives with a mental health challenge. This is Bless This Brain. My wife and I walked into a church one day to meet with a pastor. No, this is not the setup to a joke. Some pastors are excited to meet with us. They know that folks in their church are struggling with mental health challenges. They know that though they are equipped in many ways to deal with spiritual issues, they're largely ill-equipped to address serious mental health challenges. They know that the reason we exist is to help people get connected with professional mental health care, and that we wish to serve the church in this way, and that we do so free of charge. Again, they're excited to meet with us. But some pastors, they'll meet with us not because they're excited about our mission. No, they meet with us because we email them a dozen times. And a meeting, hearing us out, might be enough to make us go away. One such pastor, after so many attempts, finally opened his door to us. Now, he's not a bad guy. He's likely very busy, and he's probably been approached by a number of organizations for a variety of different reasons. We were thankful for his time. Upon greeting us, his defenses went up, and he instantly said, "You guys are the ones who do the mental health stuff? You know how I handle mental health. You gotta take your thoughts captive." Take your thoughts captive. Now, I've heard this many times before. It's a common response to mental health challenges. You're thinking bad thoughts. Take those thoughts captive. You're feeling suicidal. Take those thoughts captive. You're feeling anxious to a debilitating degree. Take those thoughts captive. You've probably been told the same thing, and like me, you may have wondered what that means. For a very long time, I took the phrase, "take your thoughts captive," to mean, for every wrong thought that I have, every depressing thought, every anxious thought, every angry thought, I gotta stop, devote all of my attention to it, argue with it, put it in its little jail cell, and hold on to it. My captive, my prisoner, this bad thought that I caught. But is that true? A, is that what we're being commanded to do in Scripture? And B, is that even helpful? Let's take a look. Well, not a look. Let's take a listen. Where to begin? Well, it's a phrase derived from Scripture. And like many things Christians say to each other, they may have a biblical foundation, but one that's not rooted in the context of what the Bible actually says. So, let's take the "take those thoughts captive" way of thinking captive and examine it in light of Paul's writings. Bible time. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, Paul writes, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." So let's break that down. We start with this statement: the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. Well, what does that mean? When the phrase "take your thoughts captive" is used, it's often implying that in our war against our own bad thinking, we think about our thinking until we think about it right. Well, that's using our brains. And our brains are our flesh. Paul is telling us human reasoning is not what destroys these bad thoughts, it's divine power. We don't wage war with human logic, we wage war with God's help. Okay, you say, fine, every time I have a bad, depressing, anxious thought, I'll pray about it. Divine power. Okay, maybe. But let's continue reading. The next statement Paul makes is, "We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Did you hear the phrase, take your thoughts captive, in that statement? If so, you might be hallucinating, and we can talk about that later. If you didn't hear it, you're right. It doesn't say it. First, what's being taken captive? Arguments. Against what? Against the knowledge of God. Arguments that individuals in the church are using to dismantle the truth of God. And what else do we destroy? Lofty opinions. Again, lofty, proud, arrogant opinions of individuals in the church who are maligning the truth and knowledge of God for their own purposes. Paul is saying the church is at war with lies coming from those who would seek to bastardize the gospel and misrepresent who God is. Do you see the difference? The difference between, I must take my depressing, suicidal, anxiety-producing, isolation-causing thoughts captive and wage war against them, versus there are wolves among the sheep who would bring lies into this church, and we will take the things they say and through God's divine power destroy the lies. You see, Paul isn't saying, take your thoughts captive. He's saying, take their thoughts captive. And as you hear that, something inside you might say, yes, but depression is a lie. Anxiety is a lie. It's not the truth of God. Therefore, the enemy is in me, and I must wage war against every one of those thoughts. Well, if that's how we're going to interpret the verse, then we must include the next statement that Paul writes. Be ready to punish every disobedience. And this is what we do. We have one of those thoughts, one of those depressing, anxious thoughts, and we punish ourselves with rumination, guilt, shame. And sometimes we'll even punish ourselves to the point of death, killing the source of bad thoughts, becoming just another suicide statistic. Let me paint a picture of what's happening in a way that might help you understand. Imagine the town you live in is your brain. In this town, you're the police officer, you're the only judge, you're the only prison guard, and the only warden. Bad thoughts are the crime, and as you patrol, you see the bad thought, you arrest it. You judge it, you condemn it to prison, you guard it, and then you punish yourself for ever letting the bad thought happen in your town. No problem. A bad thought here and there, you can handle that. But wait, something to consider. You have, and this is true, about 6,000 thoughts a day. And guess what? Maybe 80%, or depending on the study, 95% of those thoughts are repetitive and negative. So now we have another job, because those thoughts are always breaking out of prison and committing the same crime of making us feel bad. We gotta hunt them down. Can I give you permission to breathe? Take a deep breath and breathe while you listen to this. You don't have to be the police officer, the judge, the prison guard, the warden, the bounty hunter. Because, and hear me, there is no scriptural mandate to take every thought of yours captive. Perhaps you get something wrong about God. You misunderstand an aspect of the gospel. You forget a commandment. You slip up. You fail. That doesn't make you an enemy of God who deserves to be punished. There's more than enough grace to give us time to grow in holiness and knowledge. More than enough grace to bear with us as we put to death sin through divinely powered repentance, turning away from evil. But we're not talking about sin. We're talking about emotions. Perhaps you have a negative thought, a negative feeling, a negative memory. You're human. Humans have negative thoughts. Humans have negative feelings. Can I give you some other verses? Ones that I think actually apply to those negative thoughts. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You don't need to arrest your anxiety, argue with it, Try not to feel it. Anxiety happens. Share it with Jesus. Let him carry it. Do what he does with it. You're still going to feel it. That's okay, because you're not alone with it. Jesus is with you, because he cares for you. 2 Corinthians 1, 3-4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." God comforts us in trouble. It doesn't say he always protects us from trouble. He knows we're going to experience trouble, troubled lives, troubled minds. And in that, he shows us compassion and he comforts us. You see, he knows what we're made of. We're called to walk in the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. We're called to love, comfort, care for, show mercy, share good news with others. We can't do that if we're constantly waging war against thousands of negative emotions every day. Those thoughts will come. And when they do, you say, "Hey, Jesus, hold this." And then set your mind on the things above and put your hands to the wonderful mission before us. Get to work on the things we're called to value as followers of Jesus. Lord, for our good and for your glory, bless this brain. Thanks for listening. If you found this episode helpful, consider following, rating, and reviewing wherever you listen. That'll help people find the podcast. And if you're interested in the services that we offer at Bless This Brain, everything from mental health first aid trainings for churches to remote and in-person peer support groups and much, much more, just visit blessthisbrain.com. Until next time.